I was like everybody else. The first couple of years I was in business, and my husband used to say the first thing I always stole from was sleep. Like, oh, I can get up earlier and stay later. And I mean, I talk about this in the book. The book opens with a kitchen fire. And, you know, when somebody sits you down and specifically asks you not to burn the house down, that's a sign of, like, we're having an intervention. Because it was always like, oh, I can do one more email while that's heating up and I'll have, you know, whatever. So I had, you know, seriously almost electrocuted myself one time because I was in a rush. I call myself a recovering rushaholic. And I just thought, this can't be right. Like, this is, you know, you always think when your business is new, once I get past this next thing and this next thing. And all of a sudden I realized one day, boy, like, I'm not even believing that anymore. Like, there's always this next thing. And I realized, you know, if the whole object of business is to get more business and to be busier, then you're going to have less time moving forward, not more.
We're on a mission. We're going to find and uncover the smartest, most successful entrepreneurs on the planet, explore their highs, their lows, and how they ultimately mastered the game. I'm Martin Cook, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Smarter Destiny podcast. I'm grateful for you and your time. Now let's level up together. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Smarter Destiny podcast, where this time I am joined by my special guest, Chris Ward. She's a leading authority in productivity and building your business. And she's also the author of Win the Hour, Win the Day, which is a brand new book that is on Amazon, and it's surrounded by lots and lots and lots and lots of five-star reviews. And that might suggest something, folks. That might mean that it's quite a good book, but we're going to get into that later on. In addition to that, Chris has been interviewed by one of the original sharks from Shark Tank, Kevin Harrington. I love Kevin Harrington. He was the foreword on my own book, so I love that. And as well as being on the ABC's The Secret Millionaire and a host of top podcasts. So I'm very excited to welcome Chris into the midst today, and let's get into it. Chris, how are you?
I am great and really excited to be here.
Fantastic. It's one of those days, isn't it? It's a funny day where at least for us in the UK, where the weather is turning. It's we've had a few warm days, which, you know, for Brits is rare, and lots of skin on show all of a sudden. So it's a weird one. I don't know why I'm mentioning that, but Chris, you caught my attention when you did a rather rare reach out, actually, and it's tragic that it's a little bit rare, and that's why I want to point it out to the audience. You took the effort of recording a very, very short a bite size video for me, explaining who you were, what you've got going on, what value you can bring to the audience, and why it would be great to have you on the show. And I admired that hustle in it. Obviously, that led to a conversation that led us to here. And I mean, we're going to get into your story as well. But where did that that sort of slightly more personal approach come from? What led you to do that?
Well, my book is written on my experience with my marketing agency. So I do have a marketing agency. So I do take great pride when people tell me, you know, I market well. And that's how I get some really amazing guests on my own podcast. And I do the same thing with them, with my outreach. So people tell me it's, you know, as one sort of big ticket item I got on my show said, you know, it's your marketing. So I like to think it's years of painful learning in my own marketing agency. And you just have to learn that, listen, we all get lost in social media and it's this big sea of all this activity, but it's one human to one human. And I wanted you to know that I appreciated what you're doing, and I thought we could have a fun conversation, and here I am.
I think we are going to have a fun conversation. Yeah. So whereabouts in the world are you right now?
I'm in Canada, but I have been to England. So that was a pretty exciting trip for me. So yeah, I've been there.
Nice. Whereabouts in Canada are you?
Right now I'm on the eastern coast. Most people are not aware of the teeny little place that I'm in. It's very small, very country. There's me and a lot of cows. But my office and a lot of my world is about an hour outside of Toronto.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I do like Canada, but I've explored the east side. I haven't explored the west side at all. I've explored the west side more than the east side, I should say.
Oh, gotcha.
So gotta get over to the east part. So as you know, because you did your research, because you're a good guest, we typically kick these things off with a bit of a point of friction. So somewhere in your past, which kind of dictated the road ahead for you, the journey ahead. So a time where you know big decisions needed to be made. If you've got a point in time in mind, could you tell us about that? Maybe paint a word picture.
Yeah, sure. So how this whole win the hour, win the day came about was I was pulled away from my marketing agency for about 2 years. And my husband had been diagnosed with colon cancer. And when I returned after his passing, my business had not only survived, but it had thrived. And my clients were not aware of my absence. They had no idea what was going on. And to be honest, you know, I didn't want to talk about it and I didn't think it was good for business. And, you know, I just sort of cheerio, put my head up and kept going. And so when I came back, they started gently asking me, like, how did I manage all that? Because you take the emotion out of it, you know, even just the surgeries and the chemo and the doctor's appointments, that's more than a full-time job, plus, you know, my agency. So they started to really, you know, ask me gentle questions about how did I swing it? And so I started to work with them under the capacity of productivity. Because I believe that your business should support your life, not consume it. And I certainly had a renewed faith on life is short and that we shouldn't be sacrificing our family time, our personal life for our dreams, you know. So I then started working with these people that thought it was just that their dreams were so big. That's what was consuming their time. Not that they, you know, they got a lot done in a day, but, you know, what they wanted to be able to do is take real vacations and stop being frustrated with moving targets of their big ambitions and all that stuff. So they started to, you know, really have a bigger impact on their audience, take real vacations for the first time, you know, triple their time off and double their income. And I thought, well, this is amazing. And I want to help more people because I truly believe that business should be fun. And so I thought, okay, I will write a book and then I can reach more people than just the people that were sort of local to me that had tripped across my, you know, area of focus there. So that's how this sort of was born.
Nice. And so what do you attribute some of the key reasons, I don't know what the best word is, but the whys behind how you had uniquely set up your business so that you were able to take that long time period off and still come back to a thriving business?
Well, I mean, listen, let's not paint this a beautiful, innocent story because I was like everybody else the first couple of years I was in business. And my husband used to say the first thing I always stole from was sleep. Like, oh, I can get up earlier and stay later. And I mean, I talk about this in the book. The book opens with a kitchen fire. And, you know, when somebody sits you down and specifically asks you not to burn the house down, that's a sign of like we're having an intervention because it was always like, oh, I can do one more email while that's heating up and I'll have, you know, whatever. So I had, you know, seriously almost electrocuted myself one time because I was in a rush. I call myself a recovering rushaholic. And I just thought, this can't be right. Like this is, you know, you always think when your business is new, once I get past this next thing. And all of a sudden I realized one day, boy, like I'm not even believing that anymore. Like there's always this next thing. And I realized, you know, if the whole object of business is to get more business and to be busier, then you're going to have less time moving forward, not more. So I just thought I had to make some changes. So I really started to examine productivity feverishly. And so there was, lucky for me, this transformation of my business a number of years before this sort of blew up with John and everything was happening, you know, in my home life. So I went through the rapids like everybody else, but I thought this is not something I can sustain for 10 or 20 years. And because I did have such a great partnership with him, he deserved more and I didn't need to always be tired and stuff. So I had put those principles in play, luckily a number of years before that happened.
Nice. And so could you talk to us a little bit about some of those principles that you, the specific principles that you put in play?
Yeah. So the number one principle that everyone I think overlooks is building a team. And any success story in the history of business, any entrepreneur, it always starts with a team, whether it's two guys in a garage, whatever, it's a team. And as entrepreneurs, we get into this mindset of, oh, I'm saving money, I'll do it myself. But we live in this absolutely magical time where we can have people around the world working very economically with us so that we can execute our projects and just get to the next ambition and the next opportunity. So in fact, we can make more money quicker, you know, if we learn how to build a team. And team often sounds expensive, it sounds complicated, it sounds like you're managing it, and it's none of that. You could be hiring somebody, you know, to edit your social media videos for 2 hours a week, and you don't have to purchase, you know, a new computer, a new desk, all that stuff. And you can commit to 2 hours, you know, oh, I got 2 hours this week, and it might be not for another couple weeks, or it might be another person. I mean, once you put those strategies in place, it's unbelievable the opportunities that you can move to the next thing and the next thing. So I would say the biggest thing that so many entrepreneurs miss is the power and the potential of starting a team.
Nice. And 100% agree with you there. And I'm super curious because 2 years is a very impressive feat. I've heard of 6 months, and I definitely refer to I call it the coma test, right? So in my eyes, a coma is a sort of 6 month period of time, and your business should be thriving even if you, mm-hmm. the owner, is in the coma, right? So quite a morbid example yeah. that I use quite yeah, frequently, yeah, yeah. but but you know, still, right? So principle one is having a team. Could you give us a sneak peek about principle two potentially?
Well, you know, if I could just add to principle one, what I would like to say too, though, is when I tell people that they need a team and they go, okay, you're right. And then they run off and they think, oh, and they come back like it didn't work. And what I need you to understand is it's a whole strategy on its own. And I have worked years and years in building out a more efficient process to do it in less and less time and get bigger and bigger results. So I guess the big thing I want to drive home before people run off and say, oh, she's right, I'll do this myself, is I'm telling you, there's all these things you shouldn't be doing yourself. And then I give you the answer to that and you go off and do it yourself. Right. So people often think, oh, okay, great, I'll go find someone just like me, or I'll go do this, or I have all these things. But there is a huge strategy and a process that is so super easy to implement. And often, if I can add one more thing, because this is really the jewel box, this is where all the jewels are hidden, is I've had people say, well, Chris, I tried that. I spent weeks, said like one, photographer, she's like, I spent weeks and weeks building up this training thing so I could hire someone. And she had all these issues. She just hired someone locally that she kind of knew so she could trust them, and because she was fear-based. And then like that didn't work because, you know, they weren't skilled. She was basing it on their relationship, not on her skill set. And then she tried to build this elaborate training thing. And then when she hired her first outsourcer, it didn't work because she had built it like A to Z without testing any of it. So then you just get to letter B and you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. I need a password for that. And then this, and then they're bothering you. So what happens is people build too big and elaborate of a training process and try to build this whole machine before they hire their first person. And I could show you how to, you know, set something up today that would take you like, I don't know, 30 seconds to 2 minutes, and you could have someone on your team by tomorrow night, no problem, and trained and doing the task you want. So I just want people to understand is if you go, yep, okay, that concept makes sense, you're right about building a team, then running off and yourself, and you've done that before and it always fires. So that's something I really wanted to drive home.
Nice. I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot of experience in the matter. You should potentially write a book on that subject, Chris. Yeah. What do you reckon? So let's transition into the book. So first off, what's the name of the book? And other than what you've mentioned or touched upon so far, what compelled you to write it?
Well, it's called Win the Hour, Win the Day. And I will say it again and again, I am obsessed that business should be fun. And you have these dreams, and most people start their business for a reason, whether it's a passion, like they want to do this hobby more and turn it into a business. Or lots of times you'll hear entrepreneurs say, I want to spend more time with my family. And you're like, oh my gosh, how's that going for you? Right. So I just thought, you know, I don't believe in grinding it out. I don't believe grunting it out and being exhausted is in your favor. And in the creating of this book, I learned many things about that all our best ideas in the history of evolution have come from times of rest or play, right? From Newton's apple. When you are grinding it out and running through a day, you're just at the next thing, like a runner jumping over hurdles. You're not in a position to be creative and clear-minded. So what I found is it was unbelievable to me that when I put these practices in place, that I was working way less and I was yielding not just more work and getting more time off, but it was just, I was a kinder, more patient person. Studies I've done with my own family and friends reported that I was lost some of my charm when I was exhausted all the time. So, you know, but also I could execute a really much more creative, area than I had ever done before. So that really drove me, like, people should just be having more fun with their business. That's why you started it. Because if not, you can find a job you hate. That's no hard task, right? So like everyone could do that. We've all had jobs we hated. So I was really passionate about getting this book into people's hands because people keep telling me it changes how they see time and how they see their business. And man, when I hear the relief coming from their voices, that's the exciting part.
And so who is the perfect reader for this book? Who are you, like, if your absolute perfect target avatar as a reader that would be helped a lot by this book?
My perfect human is someone that usually our clients are always service-based industry, and they've, you know, listen, it would be ideal if you're starting out in business too, because then you wouldn't have to go through the pain that the rest of us did. But it's definitely, I'm speaking to someone that's been in business a couple of years so that they've got, you know, those excuses under their belt, and they know that, oh, you know, this time it's not going to be different. And once they get through this next thing, so really someone that's got big dreams, big ambitions, and, you know, they can see that stuff and they're just getting so frustrated. And they're usually someone that does get a lot done. I mean, I used to get a lot done in a day. So when people talk to me about productivity, I think, you don't understand. There's just too much for me to do. So what happens is when you are organized, or you are the go-to person for other people, or you have big dreams, you just assume that they take more work than you can put out in a day. And so you just put your head down and keep running as fast as you can, hoping to catch up and outrace time. So what I would tell you is, it doesn't have to be this hard. And, you know, it's not your fault. You just, no one ever taught you these really simple strategies that can help you. And so that's the kind of person is like, yeah, you are smart. You have big dreams. You get a lot of stuff done, you know, but there's still an easier way.
Nice. And so for the people listening and going, wow, that describes me, I need that, that is the medicine that the doctor told me I should be taking, I'm burnt out right now, I'm you know, working too hard, I need this, where can they go to explore getting the next steps, whether that's getting a copy or learning more about you, or whatever that looks like for them?
Yeah, they can always check us out when the hour, when the day. And actually, for your audience, we just made this beautiful page with a whole bunch of goodies on it. Instead of just one giveaway, there's at least 12 of different training and, you know, ebooks and all kinds of stuff. So they can check it out at www.winthehourwinthedaycom/free-gift. A whole bunch of goodies there that will get them started and go, get some light on it.
Nice. Well, that's very generous of you. So winthehourwinthedaycom /free-gift for them to get all of those lovely Easter eggs that you've got combined for them. Fantastic. And so, Chris, at this point in the show, typically what we do is we mix things up a little bit. We go into the rapid fire question round where I ask the questions quickly. You can take as long as you want to answer them. Are you up for that?
I'm always up for that. I'll tell you anything you want to know except my weight. How's that?
are you two thumbs up for that? There it is. There it is. I like that. So question one in season two's question round. Question one is, what superhero would you be and why?
Oh, I would probably be Superman, because you could just get places faster. That flying thing seems attractive.
Yeah. I like that. Not the Flash, though, because you'd want to get there quickly by air, not land.
Yeah, I think just skip over that. I mean, I'm not up on my comic heroes. I don't have a depth to that, but I do think, okay, I could go back and forth between the Flash and Superman. Yeah.
What's one thing that people often incorrectly assume about you?
I think I'm known for getting stuff done. And my sister used to say if she ever was ever in a Mexican prison, she would call me and I would organize lawyers. So I'm the go-to person to get stuff done. And then people are often surprised, like movies, I really like happy, cheery. I just can't watch where people are victimized or sad, or even when the story needs to be told and it's a history story, I just can't do it. I just don't understand going in and being in good shape and coming out sadder because you got to know somebody and they passed away in a movie. So I think I'm more sensitive than people realize, because I can do the tough stuff, but I'm sensitive to, let's just be happy. Yeah.
I like that. What is the most pointless subject taught at schools, and what would you replace it with?
Oh my gosh. There's so many. I think more than it being pointless, I just think there's so many things that they don't teach us. Time management being one of them. Oh my gosh, you know, the bell rings and you just go to the next class. Or even when you get to university level in academia, no one asks you, like, do you have a job? How many other courses are you taking? Let me show you how to integrate all these things so that you can produce at your highest level. No one teaches you that. Like, I was in second year university before they taught me how the brain works with studying. I'm like, well, that would have been something I could have had 10 years ago when I was studying for exams. So I think there's a lot of missed opportunities in school.
Nice. What's one random act of kindness you've either witnessed or done yourself?
Random act of kindness. There was cashier. There was somebody in my local. Well, last week there was somebody in my grocery store, and she was going through ahead of me, and she worked there. But you could see, like, I was talking to her, and she had a cast on, and she was really frazzled because she just hurt her leg the day before. And then she got to the cash, and they knew her, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, like, my foot hurt, and I'm on this new medication. I left my wallet home," and she didn't realize it till she got to the cash. So she said to the girl that she worked with, like, "I promise I'll be back, because it'll come out of that woman's till." She goes, "It was like $20," and she said, "I promise, I'll go home right after work and I'll do that." And so when she left, the girl said, "No problem, I'll be here till 6. And then I just paid for it. And I just said, you know, tell her before she goes home that it's paid for. So she didn't know I did it, but it saved her a trip at the end of the day. So I like to do I like surprises. I like to do anything you can to, just the smallest thing makes a big difference in somebody's day.
100%. What an amazing thing to do there. What unusual or underrated food or drink should people try out?
I think water. I drink a lot of water, and I think most people miss how good that is for the body. So I think they just forget water is not in your coffee, people. And it's just so, it's such a big part of your health and vitality. So I think water is often overlooked. There he is. But while I talk, he's drinking his water. Yay.
What's one mistake you made in your life, and what did you learn from it?
Oh, dear Lord.
Just one?
I think, you know what? Yeah. I think that rushing thing, I really thought that I was always moving quicker than everybody else, and it meant that I got stuff done. And now I compare it to, like, driving in a car going 60 miles an hour or being on a bike, noticing things around you. Like, I didn't realize how much I was missing out on rushing. And people of all walks of life told me I was always rushing. And I thought, So I wish I had slowed down sooner and, like, you know, just breathe in, be in the moment, and stop rushing. You're not winning. You're not gaining anything by rushing.
Like that. What does the first 30 to 60 minutes of your day look like, and at what time does it typically start?
I wake up when I wake up. I don't set an alarm, but generally I wake up between 6 and 7. 7 is sleeping in for me. And then I try to be disciplined and do 15 minutes of meditation. And I do that most days. And then I hop up, and 15 minutes later, I just dive into my workout. And depending what time of year it is, whether that's indoors or outdoors. So yeah, I meditate and then work out.
Nice. And then into the day.
Yeah, then we go.
Where do you go, or what do you do to get inspired?
Oh, I have a problem with that. I often struggle with calming myself down. I'm easily inspired. I'm really excited. I love the machinery of business, so I can watch anything and really go, oh, like, that's fascinating to me. You know, most recently I've discovered on Netflix the whole Formula One world, and the idea that they bring, like, $1 trillion worth of machinery to another part of the world next weekend to race this car, and all the logistics. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is nuts. So I find everything really exciting, inspiring. So that's something I have to learn, how to sort of calm myself versus the other way of inspiring myself.
So it's like, where do you go to, like, decompress all the inspiration, or to?
Yeah, that would be a better question. Yeah.
Who do you idolize above anyone else, and why?
Huh. I don't know if I idolize any one person above anybody else. I think there's so many people with so many gifts. So I can't see we're all flawed human beings. So I don't have one person. I think I do idolize anyone that's a clear communicator, someone that really, you know, speaks well, like Barack Obama or, you know, Martin Luther King. I often think of him. I've had to learn how to slow down a lot. And I often think of his great speech where if I delivered, it'd be like, oh my gosh, I had this dream and I would light into the dream and I would be going so fast. And his pacing of it with in such an audience to walk them into the story is so profound to this day. And he could have given me the same speech and I would have botched that 7 different ways to Sunday. So I think I admire great communicators that have faith in their message so that they can slow it down. I think that's a really big skill.
Yeah, definitely. What book do you read or gift the most?
Well, right now it would be Win the Hour, Win the Day. previous to that, a business book I often like was 3 Feet from Gold by Greg Reed. I would give that to business friends a lot. And on a personal level, anything by Abraham Hicks, I've given that a lot. It's about self-development and spirituality. I've given that a lot out as gifts. Yeah.
What silly thing should people do more of?
I just think lighten up and laugh. Just have fun and laugh at anything that you can laugh at. Sometimes, like let's say I'm busy. Like this morning we had some things show up at work that were a little bit stressful and I then needed to switch gears to go to a meeting. And I just put on like on YouTube, I put on 5 minutes of bloopers from Friends and they were laughing and making mistakes. And then I just changed my energy and was ready for the next meeting. So I think sometimes if your day doesn't bring you laughter, you have to purposely find it. And because you are in control of the energy you bring into the room.
I think that's a fantastic answer. And I had something similar actually from another guest, and their name is escaping me at the moment, but it was something similar in terms of just, you know, laughter and just go out and get it and don't feel like it's a waste of time to take 5 minutes to find something that will lighten your day. Lately for me, that's been TikTok videos. It's weird, but I think the algorithm's got it dialed in now and it's not showing the stupid wannabe influencer women showing off skin. And it's more about the comedy and it's showing me just comedy. And absolutely love that. And actually shared one on my Facebook the other day and it was just ridiculously silly, but you know, made me laugh. So I thought I'd share it. So second that. If you could change one world problem with one wish, what would that be?
I just think fear-based. People get themselves into a lot of trouble being fear-based. Yeah.
Okay. So what you would try and calm people down, try and reassure the masses, or?
I think when people are making decisions, you're watching the news and like, there's always a problem, like the real estate market or the economy or this or that, like, you know, there's just always the news and the outside world is not there necessarily to cheer you up. And so then you start sitting there in isolation in your own little world that this would have no impact on today. And you're making decisions based on, well, what if this happens? And you're just running around fear-based, sort of filling your fear bucket with new information that you're getting. So it's not about being afraid today or do I have to do a speaking gig today, but it's just reacting to the world around you and letting other people's energy influence you and just taking it all in, sort of lack control of fear. So I think if you just come from a position of that's not the problem I have right now and just be confident and happy in the moment, you'll find it. I found it to be an easier journey.
Fantastic. Yeah. Would you rather always be 10 minutes late or always be 20 minutes early?
I'm always 20 minutes early and I would be sickened if I was 10 minutes late. So, yeah.
So always.
If I'm
always
on time, late? I'm late. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Would you rather move to a new city or town every week or never be able to leave the city or town you were born in?
I know there's limitations to living in one town your entire life, and I think it does narrow your worldview. But I would tell you, if I have to pick one, I am a habit of routine. I like a quiet life. I like a routine, and I do travel for business, and I do it when I have to. But I step up and do it because it's the right thing to do. So I would stay in one town probably.
Nice. And then final question, Chris. I like this question. I think it's an important question. What makes you happiest?
I'm just determined all the time to be happy. I think I've been through enough. And I think when you see someone fight for their life, you realize how every moment, you know, you're not happy, you're wasting it. Or I used to think when people would say, oh, you know, we have a problem. And I think, huh, do you really? Right? Because you're driving home to the doctor's office and you're like, okay, that was some bad news. Now, how do I cheer him up? So I like nature. I like being out in nature. But regardless where I am or what I'm doing, I choose to be happy all day, every day. And I will change my environment to make sure I am happy. So I'm all about happiness. That is my number one goal with whatever I'm doing.
Nice. Well, that brings us pretty much to the end of the show. But at this point, I'd like to ask you, Chris, have you got any asks or requests of the audience?
Yeah, I mean, reach out and tell me you heard me on this great show. I would love to know when you find me. Some people say, oh, I heard you on a podcast, but tell me about, you know, what you liked about this great interview, or check out our page, www.winthehourwinthedaycom/free-gift, and tell me which one was your favorite. And you can also check me out on my podcast, Win the Hour, Win the Day podcast, where we talk in more general business. It's not about productivity. It's just all encompassing about business. So yeah, let me know which free gift you like, because we can change them all the time. And they're gifts, so I want you to enjoy them. So let me know which ones you liked.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time today to tell us your story, to share the value, to share your experience, and to give a bunch of free gifts to the audience as well, which is super generous of you. Thank you so much for bringing all of that and sharing your time with us today.
Thank you.
Hey there, you incredibly good-looking human. Thanks so much for listening. If you had a good time today and would like more good times in the future, please hit that subscribe button and leave a heartwarming review. I read them all, and it will go a long way to help others out there benefit from all the teachings of this show. Don't forget, we release 2 interviews per week, plus a shorter, actionable, and tactical show in between. And if you want to get in touch or otherwise learn more about me, head to martincook.co.uk or smarterdestiny.com. I really appreciate you. You're an incredible human. Until next time, keep crushing.